upon you. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, I am so grateful and thankful for your word. I am so grateful and thankful, Father, for the opportunity to come to Lima together this weekend. Father, to be able to fellowship, Father, to be able to be encouraged, Lord God, to be able to open that portal just a little more, Father, that the light, Father, continues to do the transformation that it's intended to do. So may all of us, Father, as we work on our skills, as we work on our character, as we work on the fellowship and the strengthening this weekend, I pray, Father, for your guidance and direction. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Again, Matt made my point that oftentimes what we set out to do, see, becomes counterproductive. We set out to do it with very good intentions, and yet the Satan can kind of trick us into being counterproductive. Now, let me set the context just a little bit here in Isaiah chapter 60. Up to this point, for quite some time, Isaiah has painted a dark, dark picture on the condition of God's people. He hasn't had anything good to say for quite a while. Isaiah 56:11, he calls them greedy dogs. Shepherds who can't understand. People who are just ready for their own gain. Isaiah 57:3, he calls them sons of sorceresses. He needs to read the book on how to win friends and influence people. You offspring of the adulterer and the harlot. Isaiah 57:5. Inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree and slaying the children in the valleys. Isaiah 57:13. And you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. You like the idols so much? See? 57:21. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Your iniquities have separated you. Your sins have hidden His face from you. Isaiah 59:4. Nobody calls for justice. 59:8. The way of peace they have not known. There's no justice in their ways. Isaiah 59:10. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. Darkness. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. Isaiah 59:18. Fury from His adversaries. According to their deeds, according He will repay. And then, suddenly, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Now, what happens when you go from darkness out into the bright sunshine? See, your eyes and his irises start to constrict. See, now we've been exposed to the light. See, now our irises should start to open up. But you know, depending on your perception, is how much light you're going to let in. Now, Matt talked about our... Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And this story takes place in a by yourself. Okay? Now, a little picture of by yourself up on the screen here. And it, you know... Specifically involves a pickup truck. But you're going to have a chance now to use your notebooks, because there's not going to be a test. There's going to be a test after this, so we're going to have some participation. So you want to keep track of this and write these things down. There's only six people to keep track of. We got Marie, Luke, Pierre, and Sue, and Tom, and Shane. Now, there are no wrong answers, okay? Just so you know. There will be a test, but there will be no grades given. So, now, Marie is a young woman who recently moved with her mother and stepfather to the community of by yourself. Now, you don't need to be worried about being by yourself. See? But Marie recently moved. She's had trouble getting to know a lot of the students in the high school. Now, recently, a young man, Luke, showed an interest in Marie, and he asked Marie to meet him at a party that he's giving on Friday night while his parents are out of town. Now, Marie was all excited, and she asked her mom if she could go to Luke's. Her stepfather told her she couldn't go. Marie ran to her room crying. Later, when Marie's mom went to check on her, she pretended to be asleep. After her mom left, Marie slipped out of the bedroom and began walking to the party. A truck... Told you we get a truck in there. See? A truck driven by Pierre stopped and asked her where she was going all by herself. And she told him, and he offered to give her a ride. Once in the car, Pierre said, "You know, it's a long way out of my way. However, you have sex with me, I'll take you to the party." Marie agreed, and Pierre dropped her off at the party. Sue, the only girl from school that Marie knew at the party, saw Marie get out of Pierre's truck, and Pierre drove off. Sue asked Marie what was she doing riding with him. Marie told Sue everything and asked what she should do. Now Sue listened to the story and then told Marie to tell Luke everything. So Marie found Luke, who was giving the party, found Luke inside, told him everything. Now, Luke had lots of feelings about what had happened, and he asked her to leave. Marie left, and on the way out, she ran into Tom. And she told Tom everything that happened. Tom listened. He said, "I don't want to get involved." And he walked away. As Marie ran home crying, she ran into Shane. Shane listened to her story and said, "I'm going to do something about this." Shane went to the party and beat Luke up. Now, I want you to do on your pads, I want you to rank these characters in this story. Number one being the one that you object to the least. And number six being the one that you object to the most. I'll answer any questions that you have in case you got lost with all these six people, but the questions have to be on the sheet. Only the facts, ma'am. So now I'm going to ask some of you what you pick, so you better not be looking at me like you're ready for lunch already. So get them in your mind. Okay. Marie, Luke, Pierre, driving the truck, Sue's friend, Tom, and Shane. And number one is the least objectionable. Number six, the most objectionable. So it's okay to be by yourself. We're talking about light, darkness. Who wants to go first? I told you I was going to call on somebody because nobody ever wants to go first. See? Somebody go first. Matt, I was back there saying amen all the time you were preaching. I think you're kind of obligated to help me out here. So, all right, I'll give you a couple more minutes to make your list. Mm-hmm.
To me, they're all equal.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, they're all equally culpable.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it didn't seem like Tom did anything. Maybe not. Anybody else want to help Matt out here? Okay. Look at your list, see, because I want to know if anybody else has this, and don't just make it up and set their line.
Number one, I have Tom. Tom beat up Luke, right?
No, Shane.
But number one, I have Shane.
Okay.
Number two, I have Sue.
Number two, she's the second least culpable. Okay. Alright. Now, why would you say that Marie is second to the most culpable? Okay. And Pierre?
Pierre just seems like a predator. In a way, yeah. He took most advantage of the situation.
Okay. Anybody else have exactly those same ones picked? And that's why this is by yourself. Somebody else? Mike, did you do this? Oh, okay. I figured you'd have something, so. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to do anything easy and have a test on it. I mean, point nine.
Marie was kind of like a victim before, a victim by choice. So, that's all I know.
Anybody up here got any? Come on, share. Come on. This is your chance to be interactive. Okay. Again, you say kind of like before, everybody is culpable. Anybody else? Come on, we need one more. Don't be scared. Somebody. Don't make me call on you. I know some of you women have strong opinions. This is okay for you to talk now in case you were wondering. So, come on, let's go. Somebody tell me. Okay. Okay. Everybody, okay. Yeah. I think you had a couple there in the middle that were mixed up. So, So you kind of rated Tom as less of a bad guy because he didn't do anything. Is that, is he didn't take any? Okay, that's fair. Okay. Any others? Oh wait, I had two sheets. I forgot to read this in the second one. Marie and Pierre had dated 2 years before she moved away. And they had previously been sexually active, and Pierre still hoped that they could get back together. Sue really liked Luke and was hoping this year that Luke would notice her. Tom is Marie's stepbrother. When Shane beat Luke up, Luke went to his room and hung himself. Does that change anybody's list? You see, it's not only the total darkness, the mammoth cave with your hand in front of your face. Now, I've always been a pretty big boy, but one of the things that my dad would always tell me is, boy, you're in my light. I can't see anything. Now, it seemed like no matter where I stood, I was in his light. You see, sometimes we have these formulas. We have these select verses. that, you know, we rely on in every situation. Listen, God has dealt with His people with the primary objective to get them to accept, not reject. Accept Him for who He is, and not reject Him for who He is. The Pharisees were religious people. People tend to be a little stiff-necked. Kind of like, sometimes like water, they seek the path of least resistance. That's not always the best path. Now God is patient. He is kind. He's merciful. Again, when that iris is exposed to bright light, it tends to constrict, see, to shut down. Now, the gospel of glory, you see, is a lot of light. Now, a lot of commentators in this that I read in this passage kind of indicate that they think that Isaiah is talking about Jesus incarnate when he comes to the earth, see, in his Adam suit, that this is the appearance of the light. Well, you know, I think maybe some. You know, it's certainly a bomb, you know, a flashbang that got there in the room of mankind. But the nuclear weapon, see, was the consummation of the ages. You see, when Jesus presented His blood in glory, and, you know, then the explosion of the light of the gospel of glory. And now, see, we are benefactors and heirs of that light. We're going to go outside on a sunny day. And you come back inside, you can hardly see anything. Going to a movie theater, see, tripping and stumbling over the seats, but you're in there for a little while, you get adjusted. Now, you can even tell if there's a pretty girl sitting two or three rows down after your eyes kind of get can't you? Get fixed up. See? What? Adaptation. So maybe we have a tendency to think that, well, that's all the light that there is. And see, this is all about a formula. And as soon as we get the formula figured out, that's all we got to do. But that adaptation works both ways. See, both, the exposure to the light and the exposure to the darkness, we start to get used to that. We start to think that's all the light that there is. Now, Colossians chapter 3, in the first four verses. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, Colossians 3, 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, where you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Listen, Jesus said in the garden to the disciples that it was to their benefit if He went away. Because if He didn't go away, the Comforter, who is His Spirit, wouldn't come. Okay. Well, so, Jesus was in the body. He's only going to be able to be in one place at one time. Now, His appearance then, see, His appearance, you see, His appearance is a spiritual appearance that we see with the spiritual eyes and have a physical contact every Lord's Day to remember Him. And it's important to know that we are being lifted up with Him in that supper. We're not bringing Him back down. See, that is the reality. I kind of made a funny when I walked up here. You know, I tend to get dried out, and so you know, I told Mike, I said, "Well, I'll lay that on the step. I'll lay it on the sacred desk there." You know, well, but how many times? I mean, how many places did you get in trouble for that? That's the formula. You don't do that. See, so it's all physical. See, now. That constant exposure to bright light, those who maybe work on computers all day, see, is going to cause a fatigue. It's going to cause a physical, when the pupil starts to emit too much light, see, it's going to exhaust the retina. And the eye gets into a non-sensitive condition. Now, trying to observe this in the physical is going to drive a person to a non-sensitive condition. Because it's right back to, see, walking the line. It's right back to keeping the law. It's right back to the darkness that Isaiah was talking about. And then, the only way to get those pupils to respond after that kind of fatigue is a very powerful stimulation. The eye becomes blind then, except to the strongest of lights. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says, First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, that in the later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, blinded by the light. Unable to perceive. The sensitivity is gone. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, Ephesians 1:15. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I didn't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things under His feet. Gave Him head over all the church, which is His body. You got that right? Which is His body. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I was taught, in order to be the light of the world, you know, what I had to do was work on my sins. See, if I would work on my sins, see, and try to repay that debt. Because, you know, I mean, Jesus didn't really pay it. He's just a debt consolidator. And now we owe Him with just slightly less interest. So, you know, in order to be more holy, I had to work on my sin. You know, the Bible never says that. It says I'm supposed to transform my mind. See, I'm supposed to be shining the light on Jesus. See, He is the light of the world. He's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's the motivation that eradicates sin, not me working on it. I mean, if I could work on it, what do I need Him for? If I could be good enough. See, but being good enough, never going to be good enough. The eyes of my understanding need to be enlightened that I can know the hope of His calling. See? The riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. What He has given us. Our light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Far above principalities and powers, might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. What does any of this have to do with by yourself? What does any of this have to do with Tom and Shane and Pierre and Marie and Luke, or me, for that matter? for you. God has set us apart, has ordained us, has sanctified us to be salt and light and a city on a hill. We are the only element of creation that's going to survive this mess. Everything else is going to burn. Everything else. So, the people like Marie and Luke and Pierre and Sue and Tom, you think this stuff don't happen? You think those people don't need Jesus? You think if I rush in there, see, and I take my lightsaber, and I'm going to straighten out the situation with my lightsaber, brother, how effective has that been? Now you're going to all be equally culpable. I'll straighten you all out, you see? Especially you, Pierre, you pervert. We don't have to defend people's actions in order to love people. And you know what? I have found... maybe you found... I have not been able to find a way to love people from a distance. You gotta be there. But some of this too is self-assessment. There are some situations I'm not going into. I'm just not. See? Because I know me. But I also know, brethren, if we don't engage the darkness ain't going anywhere. And I do know that we are the only plan that God has. There's no plan B. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm just about done. Don't worry about it. You got no place to go anyway. So, there's no lunch cooking back there. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I really like that illustration that Matt had, that sometimes the pictures, you know, a couple little girls with white dresses on, saying, and we're going through the world making sure that we're not unstained by the world. Now, you see, I'm so careful about, you know, not getting any smudges that we're absolutely doing no good. See, this says a worker. A worker has work clothes. See? A worker has work clothes on. Now, you know, I don't need to become, you know, part of the earth in order to mow the grass. You see? I can mow the grass without becoming part of the grass. You know? Now, you know, I worked in a union shop, and some of those guys never had to wash their uniforms because they kept themselves unspotted from any grease. You didn't get much grease on the lazy bench in the break room. See? Kind of have to roll around under something to get some, you know, and maybe there's some Christians that, you know, have to kind of roll around under something to appear that, you know, I've been working all day. A worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, if you haven't got the underlined, you should underline it. This is the message. Not a message. This is the message which we heard from Him and declare to you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, when we say we have no sin, well, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, in other words, you should have underlined there, unrighteousness. Now, if we say we haven't sinned, well, we make Him a liar. Then His word is not in us. My little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. And if, not when, anyone sins, if that happens, while you are working, we always had a first aid thing at the plant. See, now we didn't have a first aid thing for when you got hurt. We had it for if you got hurt. No safety man was encouraging people to use the first aid kit. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're about to land the plane. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we have this ministry, the ministry of light. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced the hidden darkness, hidden things of shame. Not walking in craftiness or handling the Word of God deceitfully. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Plain sight. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Don't write them off. We're supposed to rescue them. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded.